Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another week. And this is Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today is Memorial Day 120. And our call-in number for anybody who has a question or a comment is 646-200-4169. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, sweetie. We're having a gorgeous day in the Ozarks. It's absolutely beautiful, sunny, clear, probably about 70 degrees. And we're delighted to be here to support you in the process of learning the ancient Aramaic skill of forgiveness and bringing healing to arenas in most people's lives that one would think, well, you know, that just can't be done. And we've really been sold a bill of goods by our culture on this idea of forgiveness. And so we're going to put an invitation out to you today, as we have been for, how many days is that, honey, 120? Anyway, for 100 and whatever number of days, we've been inviting.
It's 120. I had myself on
okay.
Mute, sorry.
Cool. That's what I figured. So we've been inviting you for 120 days to pick something today that you're willing to be responsible for, something today that's going on in your world that you've probably got somebody else to blame. It's all their fault. If only they'd be different. But, of course, you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people. It's not going to be different. It's all yours if you're feeling it. And so our invitation to honor Memorial Day is the invitation to forgive. And that is, not let somebody else off the hook for what's happening in your life, for what's happening in your mind, for the sensations you're feeling in your body, but rather to change what's happening in your world by changing what's happening inside of you. And so that's our invitation. What have you got going on in the way of some form of hostility or fear that you're blaming somebody else for? And, of course, we've been sold this bill of goods called forgiveness that isn't forgiveness at all. Let's see now. Forgive them. So you're going to change yourself by forgiving them. Are you kidding me? Excuse me. That's not going to work. Now, there's a benefit to forgiving them, that is, letting them off the hook. And that is that you can unhook your pain inside of you from your brain's image of them. And so, you know, your relationship with them might change and it might get better. But notice that the pain is still there. And if you go back into the ancient Aramaic language, the word forgiveness has nothing whatsoever to do with letting them off the hook. It's how you go inside and remove your own pain. So we are moving in the direction of learning more and more about how to go inside ourselves and delete, hit the delete key. Forgiveness is the delete key on human trauma and pain. And we're here to support you in learning to do that. There's a specific technology, a how-to for doing that. If you're not familiar with that technology, then we invite you to go to the website, www.whyagain.com, And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. Download the first four links under that, and you'll have the whole story of forgiveness. So that's our invitation to you today. Learn to go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. Jeannie, do we have David with us? Do we have Dr. Tim today?
We do have both David and Tim on the line, and we also have a hand up already in the switchboard.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's welcome David and Tim and see if there's anything. I know David has been in Louisville and working through just major, major issues. For those who maybe haven't been on the show for the last week, we hold the space for David, who's in Louisville, Kentucky, with his family. And last Sunday morning had a phone call, and his 37-year-old son had died. And so, David, we open our hearts to embrace you and hold you. And do you have anything to share with us this morning?
Well, good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
Tim. It's afternoon here.
Yes, it is here, too.
And Tim and the audience and everyone that's listening and those that have sent support in texts and phone messages and as well as just holding the space, because this has been the toughest week of my life and
I can only imagine
so far. And things are shifting, and at the same time it's still there's no, like, you know, do one thing, and kind of like doing worksheets. You mean I can do one worksheet and shouldn't that be over with? No, there's a tremendous amount of work for me to be doing around this, as well as there's some background noise going on. I don't know if you guys are hearing that. No. Is it okay? So that there's a...
loud and clear, David. Go ahead.
Okay. So there's quite a bit of processing still to do. And the benefit and the value of this, and you and I have talked about this, Michael, and thank you for reminding me each time that we do talk, is that I can use this tragedy, and I call it a tragedy, unless that I've used it now for good in shifting. And just today, when I was able to connect with a friend of 15 years that just now connected back with him, and also did about an hour's work of conversation with one of my relatives about forgiveness and doing the work, and she's very open and receptive to it and doing her part as of this moment. And so, you know, that in itself is really what keeps me going. You know, when I left, when I told you, I took a few things with me because I knew my whiteboard and all that, because I knew I was going to be needing to keep this information fresh because everything is just going to be coming at me. And when I complete this call here, the radio show, when I'm calling my son's place of business and talking with the group there, and I'm going to set up a time to breathe in, because through that, then I get to do my healing with it. You know, it's I can go insane just listening to the conversations in my head. And so it's great to have the show and the support and the people to allow me to express my feelings and what's going on and to say it out loud so that I can imprint it within myself to validate it. And there's still quite a bit to go on. So that's where I'm at.
Well, we certainly open our hearts and embrace you and hold you and support you and the healing work that you're doing there. Lesser men would have quit by now, and so I acknowledge you, David, for your strength. And, you know, I really acknowledge how in the years that you've been here at Heartland, you have, every time I turn around, David's doing a piece of his work. And it's awesome. And I acknowledge you and I appreciate you for what you're doing. Because we do have a situation in our culture that is bizarre and insane. And it's insane because we've been sold a bill of goods about forgiveness, you know. When we don't know how to go inside ourselves and remove what never belonged, the trauma of the generations becomes cumulative. And that leads to exactly, unfortunately, what's happened with your son. And so the fact that you're willing to be brave enough, because, of course, in being brave enough, you've opened a space where, in some circles, you won't be overly popular, I suspect, because you're saying to people, we need to look at this. And so this cumulative trauma is leading to the death of so many young people. And you're changing that, and I acknowledge you for that and appreciate you for that, David.
I want to echo that, David, and thanks for the response to my email. There's no pressure for you to get back to me. I understand all that, the dynamics of timing at a time like this, so just take all the time you need and just know that we're sending love and prayers, and I echo that Michael's sentiments that it is just fabulous that you're carrying the torch and going to help yourself and the rest of your family in any way they will allow you to do so.
Oh, thank you, Tim. I wasn't able to catch. I don't know what went on with my phone. All of a sudden, it was just silent, and I couldn't hear you guys until you just said a few words, Tim. So thank you very much. And the support and the words and knowing that you guys are there and where you're coming from and your intentions, it makes a tremendous. I could never have done this. I really couldn't have done this. I know I couldn't have. I would have survived, yeah, like the culture. And my intentions are to shift all of that. So thank you very much.
Well, we've heard from many in the listening audience, and we're all here to support you and delighted to be on your team. Delighted to have you on ours. Is there anything else at this moment, David, that we can do to support you?
Continue whatever it is that you're doing in whatever space that you're coming from, because it literally is, as we talked about, it's moment to moment and breath to breath. For all I have to do is to tap into that, and it brings up a lot. This brings up a lot. So thank you all. Just keep doing that, and I'll do my part.
All right, my friend. We'll look forward to seeing you. And wrapping arms around you once again and holding you in the presence of that love. And I am sure that Ryan is right there with you, just saying, okay, Dad, let's do something useful here. I know, you know, his life was centered around people healing and being kind to each other and doing their work. And so I suspect he's just right there with that space and moving into wholeness.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Dr. Tim, how are you today?
Doing quite well, thank you. I had a 3-day weekend and rested and relaxed and got back in touch with the more natural side of life, hikes in the woods and bike rides along old canals, and it was just a wonderful weekend.
Nice.
And so Christy had an awesome Eternal Day celebration.
Yep. Yeah, it's this was her comment was this ranks up among this is a tie for the first in the top two. She had a 60th where her entire family of daughters and granddaughters and brothers and everybody flew in and surprised her. So
cool.
Just wonderful. Right up there with that.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, Jeannie, do we have any callers?
We have two callers.
Two callers,
yes.
All right.
Area code 847, I believe that's Chicago area. You are on the air. Who do we have?
Oh, hi, Jeannie, Tim, Michael, it's Carrie Lee.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Young lady.
Hi there. Oh, my gosh, I knew David when he lived up in the Chicago area. And as I sat listening to the conversation, you know, my heart was just pouring out to him and his son and his family. And I was thinking about the worksheet that I wanted to talk about with you today, which is about my son. So I thought that was very interesting.
Mm.
How there's sort of, you know, we are such wonderful creators in our relationships, and I know that David had created a wonderful relationship with his son, and that just because of who he is, you know, and that is something that he will always hold with him, I know. So.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, it's of course, that's the plus side, and then that is one of the things that makes it all that much more difficult to deal with.
That's right. So there were a couple of things I was.
David, are you still there, David? Let's just see if David's still there.
Yes, I am, and you know, I'm just tearing up because there's. Hold on, just a minute. Let me get my composure with it. Because there is nothing more precious than our children, than my children.
Yeah.
Nothing. And as tragic as this is, it certainly puts things in perspective. And if there were anything that I can do to support anyone in healing their relationship with their children, then I am willing to do that. And the one thing that I've been asking his friends and people that have offered their support is in alignment with our Memorial Day purpose, and that is to each day to do a worksheet and to let go of any hostility or fear, resentment, disappointment that may come up when you're in the presence of your children and are thinking about your children. For I assure you that if you were to have this experience, that all of those things would be such a challenge. And I find it that it's really unnecessary from my perspective. And sometime down the road, then I expect that I'll have new insights and a better grasp of it and an understanding of it. For as much as I know on a spiritual level, in a way that my son is with me and is always with me. That to be unable to connect at the physical level is quite challenging. And I continue to hear about people that, the young people that are taking their lives at such an early age. I was just told by my friend Tim in Missouri that just a week ago that he had met a young man and had hired him and thought the guy was really great. And the guy committed suicide a couple of days ago with pills. And it's like the insanity of it all. So thank you very much, Carrie. And, you know, you're right. I created such a fabulous relationship with my son, Ryan. And for those that knew Ryan and knew me and when we were together, it was miraculous. It was literally miraculous to be with him. And when him and I were together and we were in harmony, we rocked. We did some incredibly wonderful thing. Such a fabulous, fabulous young man. So thank you very much, Carrie.
David, do you remember, do you know who Carrie is? Do you remember Carrie, David?
Tell me some more, Carrie, because my mind is...
That's okay, David. We did ISA together.
I figured that's what it was.
Yeah, we did. And then I was teaching at the School of Intuitive Arts and Sciences in Fox River Grove with Patrick and Catherine.
I remember.
Yeah.
So you know, and it's fabulous to hear that you're doing the work and taking this to the level that you are, because I don't know. My sense is that in hearing Michael's work and having this additional piece based on some other information and workshops that you've done, that it all just makes so much more sense. Did to me, anyway. It's like, oh, yes. You know what I'm talking about?
I sure do. It just, like, everything came to me at the right moment. It was like, oh, yes, this is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah. In doing it, it really is. Without this piece here, doing other work that I found was so very useful and so very helpful, that this here just adds another dimension to it that gives a greater picture and an understanding of it. Just wonderful.
Yeah.
So thank
Absolutely.
You so much. Yeah. Very good.
But, you know, one of the questions we ask, of course, at the opening of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop is the one of how many have ever held a newborn child. And oftentimes for many adults, holding their newborn or perhaps another's newborn is the first real direct experience in conscious memory of the absolute presence of love, of this state of being that we humans are designed for. And then it's interesting how, as our children grow and the thumbprints we've put on them and the genetics that we pass to them flare up in our faces and show us exactly, they come back around and show us exactly what they need to heal. You know, one of my favorite tongue-in-cheek lines in the Why workshop is, and notice that having a child is like having your unconscious mind hang out in true living color in Dolby sound. And what nobody else can access in you, they can access and show you what needs to be healed in a way that no one else can. And so it's kind of an interesting gift that we get that first absolute direct experience of love, and then the child starts reflecting back to us what we've never dealt with. And
it's like it just seems to be part of the design.
Yeah, and if I may, along that line, when a child is supported in doing that through their parents and their parents doing their work, then they get to have some most incredible insights and of awareness and consciousness that is immeasurable. I think that one of the things with my son Brian was that we had a language and we had a way of at times just letting go of whatever that the garbage was and just being with each other. And that is joy in itself. And you know, with Ryan, when you were talking about that, about holding him as an infant and or as a newborn, and one of the things as an infant with him, I spent a lot of time the first couple of years of his life taking care of him in the daytime and holding him and doing those things, and that connection is what I remember so very much, you know, just that connection itself without words, like go right to that. And they will bring up everything. Everything.
I suspect probably Tim wouldn't affirm that, because I know Tim's never had any opportunities either, as you, David, and I have, and it sounds like maybe Carrie has.
But, yes, yeah. I can absolutely attest to the truth in your words that having children does bring up everything you've never dealt with. And the great part about it is, if you have the tools and the willingness, you can actually clear it up for you and for them and open a
Absolutely.
Space for healing that helps both.
Yep. Yeah, that's our prayer. That's what we're holding the space for. That's our invitation for Memorial Day. Take one thing today that you're willing to say, okay, I'm in my fear, I'm in my sadness, my grief, my rage, and I'm willing to remove that from my bloodline. That's forgiveness. This Trojan horse we've been given of, well, I'm going to let them off the hook because of what's happening inside of me. It's just been such a atrocity that's been done to humanity that we were handed 2,000 years ago the tool for how to remove what never belonged in human physiology. And then those words, and it's interesting, the word that's used classically for the change that took place, the original teachings were Hellenized. Like, yeah, Hellenized, that's really a good word for it. And, of course, that means they were turned into Greek. You know, basically the Greeks had learned very well how to, when they invaded, when they took over another culture, they learned how to turn them into people who thought like Greeks thought, who thought the whole gamut of belief that the Greeks held to, you know. And so Hellenized, and it really is hell that's been created on earth because the Aramaic idea of forgiveness was Hellenized. And instead of having a tool with which to go inside ourselves and remove our pain, we were taught, well, you know, what's going on inside of you is all somebody else's fault. You're not responsible. It's their fault. So forgive them. And that's Hellenized forgiveness. And it's got nothing to do with forgiveness. And it's what's led to this cumulative pain and trauma that's leading to these young people, you know, like you just said, the gal who overdosed on drugs, one of Ryan or David's son's friends at work just buried a 39-year-old or 37-year-old.
31.
31 from drug overdose. And, you know, it's just like we haven't got a tool until now, so we're starting to understand from the ancient Aramaic, we haven't had a tool with which to get rid of this cumulative pain. And so We live in this pain. We blame somebody. We forgive them. And then the next generation comes along, shows it to us. We forgive them. They forgive us. It passed on to the next generation because we're standing around literally with Hellenized forgiveness. We're sending ourselves to hell by, and I mean a living hell that people go through every day. If this isn't hell, I don't know what is, the way that these young people are dying like flies. It's just, it's horrendous. And the reason is because we haven't been shown, we haven't been given the true teaching of forgiveness. We've been given this Trojan horse of letting others off the hook, which leaves our pain fully intact, instead of the original tool of how to forgive. And if you're not familiar, if that's a strange conversation for you, that forgiveness has nothing whatsoever to do with letting somebody else off the hook. It's a technology to go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. And it's guaranteed, if it's still in there, you know, you had a neighbor maybe that you forgave or a parent that you forgave, and then here you are with your kids playing out the same stuff, because until we remove it, it continues. If you're not familiar with how to remove it, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, if this is a new conversation for you and you're thinking about, you know, forgiving a spouse, forgiving a child, even forgiving yourself in the Hellenized sense, the Greek sense of forgiveness, forget it. Stop it. Don't ever forgive anybody ever again for anything, or don't ever forgive yourself. If you're going to pardon somebody, nice thing to do, great, do that. But then go and do the work of forgiveness, which is go inside yourself and remove this cumulative pain that's been thousands of years in the making for humanity. Forgiveness has hardly reared its head on earth for the last 2,000 years. And this is the end result of that cumulative pain. It's time for us to let go of this cumulative pain that the people around us show us all the time, and they show it to us because it's in us. And the way you can tell whether it's in you or not is, are you feeling it? And if you are, then forgiveness is how you remove it. Go to our website, www.whyagain.com. All the downloads are free. Right-hand side of the page, about six links down, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. Please click on that. Download the first four links under that. That will give you the whole story of exactly how to remove all pain, all trauma, all grief, all sadness, all hatred, all vengeance, all rage, all greed. It'll show you exactly how to remove it. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. It's work. And we're here to support you every day, 5 days a week, in doing that. So, Carrie, how can we support you today? First of all, just briefly, tell us how the support group went Sunday.
It was wonderful. We did a little bit different format. Our first support group started a week ago Sunday, and the way we did it then, because we were kind of feeling our way with the worksheets, and we all sat around the table originally, and one person did a worksheet, and then we all kind of chimed in and stuff, and we found that wasn't really working for us. Because everybody wanted to have an opportunity to do the work in a more intimate way. So last night, what we decided to do is to break out. We watched the third hour of Why Is This Happening to Me Again, where we kind of worked through the last part of the worksheet. I guess this was our third week. This is our third week. And we decided to break out into groups. We had a little conversation about the worksheets beforehand, how people had gotten on during the week, and then we broke up into groups of two, and people had a choice between the 12-step worksheet, the 7-step worksheet, and the children's worksheet. Several people had found that the children's worksheet was a good place to start for them. So then we got together afterwards for the last 20 minutes or so and did some sharing on how that went. And I think people really felt that this worked for them and it was doing good. We have about 15 people in our group, and about 8 to 10 people have been coming each time. Some people can't make it each time, but so it's a pretty nice size pretty nice sized group. Thank you, Michael, for bringing all these people together with your workshops.
Well, that's awesome, and also to pass that thank you on to David, because he's the one who started the support group, and the thank you on to Tim, because it's Tim's diligent work over the last 5 or 6 years with the support group that really led to us getting back to Chicago. So ultimately, it's David and Tim that need to be thanked, and I am just honored and delighted to have so many awesome people who are working with the tools, supporting others working with the tools, and getting it out to wider and wider circles. I just talked this morning with a fellow named Rex Montague Bauer in Lansing, Michigan. He did a workshop last Sunday and started a support group there, and is moving the tools in deeper and deeper directions. It's just awesome to see how many fabulous people are pitching in, and I think we're getting to the edge of critical mass where we're going to see such a shift in humanity. It's amazing, and so thank you to everybody that's doing that. And Carrie, thank you for picking up the ball and deciding to choosing to facilitate the support group. That's awesome.
Well, I just knew that I needed support for my healing, so this was the best way for me to do that. So,
well, you know, that's kind of, I'd done this work for about 6 years part-time. I was in the business world, and I actually had 3 businesses. I had about 60 employees, and I was doing this part-time. And I got to the point where I realized the best way to be a full-time student, it became so important, you know, answering the all-important questions of what the hell is going on here on planet Earth? What's the game? And it became so important that I literally got up one morning and walked away from the business world and went back to school. And I realized that the best way to become a full-time student of this was to become a full-time teacher of it. And so, and I love what Richard Bach says, we teach best that which we most need to learn. So all you have to do is sit down on my workshops and know what I need to learn. You know, here we are.
Absolutely. So this conversation has really put, you know, my relationship with my son and my daughter both, you know, into a different perspective. And it's like remembering and reminding myself of, you know, really that incredible innocence and divine nature that we see in our little ones. And I was thinking back when you were talking about my son, and he was 2 weeks old, and I was breastfeeding him, and he had been, you know, just closing his eyes and not really connected and for the first 2 weeks. And then one day I was feeding him, just sitting there very quietly in a chair, peacefully, and I was holding his little hand around my finger, and I was kind of talking to him, and he suddenly looked up at me, and this intense electricity, this connection went before us, because he recognized the connection of food and me, and there was something else. There was like this big grin that spread across his face as we just looked into each other's eyes, and I got and I just said to him, "I've been waiting for you."
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And I'll never, ever, ever forget that moment. I still have all of that joy and love every time I think of it.
And then he turned around and gave you opportunities to learn forgiveness, right?
Yes, and I think, too, one of the things that I've recognized is that part of this loving that we do, it's like we set up these expectations or these conditions around it that kind of are insidious, and they kind of work their way like worms, earthworms underneath the ground, you know, and so...
It's a substitution of approval for love. Well, here are the parameters. If you do this, then I will approve of you. And in so doing, the actual presence, that presence that you talked about, that moment of electricity, is gone. And that's our human spark. That's our human lives. And we give that up for this game of approval. That's been going on for 1,000 generations. And, you know, then we become human doings. Well, okay, I'll do this to please you. I'll do that so you'll approve of me. And we demand, well, in order for me to approve you, you better do this, that, and that. rather than each of us just simply living our human lives in each other's presence. And that other game is, as you said, I think a good word for it is insidious.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is, because I'm starting to see it in all my relations now that I've... Now, I had to do this worksheet twice with my son, and as I did it the second time last night in class, I was like, oh my God, this is like what's going on in everything that I do. And so we were, my son and I were having a phone conversation. He lives in Portland, Oregon. He's 29. And he had been working since he graduated from college, setting up these homes for men who had suffered from brain damage and bringing them out of inappropriate situations like prisons or mental homes into group homes where they could live.
Oh, wow,
and,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and he had gotten his degree in media arts, and his job had,
hey,
his company...
Did you, I didn't
pardon?
Hear that last sentence. Did you, I didn't
I
hear your last
his, Oh, he had gotten his degree in media arts, and he's also
oh, okay.
a musician and has two bands. And but anyway, his job fell through, the companies merged, so he took off and went for 8 months to Europe and traveled and worked and came back. And what's irking me, or what has been irking me, and this big disappointment, is that when he came back, he started looking for jobs, these kind of get-by jobs. So he was very excited. He got a job as a barista, making coffee and doing
uh-huh.
deliveries. And I felt, and in this conversation, we were talking about another job that he was going to possibly do, and it just came out, even though I wasn't consciously being critical of him, he felt I was being critical, because there's that vibration there. So I was
sure.
doing this worksheet
yeah.
about my disappointment and slightly irked that, you know, we had paid for all this education and he's a barista. And, you know, and the reason for that is that I feel that he's turning his back on himself and his potential, and he's just kind of settling for something easy that comes along. So I was like having such a terrible time letting go of being right about my goal for him, but also understanding at the same time that my goal for him was an expectation that had a lot of baggage attached to it. So I kind of know that. But
yep.
I was still struggling with it, because I want him to feel joy. And, you know, maybe he is feeling this great joy in his job, but I don't get that from him. So
I need to let go
of this game of approval thing and this criticalness
yep.
and structure, and so I'm on a lot of my worksheets, I'm still struggling with structuring a loving goal with someone or towards someone, and how that loving goal can feel different for me than my other goal that I've canceled. So I'm still kind of struggling with that, because, you know, my loving goal for him, you know, is, I think it's my loving goal for him, and I understand the difference, a goal for someone as opposed to with someone. However, I only understand that intellectually, and I'm not, like, getting it on a deeper level.
No. Well, one of the questions I would ask you to suggest you might look into is, and what part of me feels like I'm not doing what I'm here to do and my potential, and have settled for something less than what I'm really supposed to be here doing. And then to come to the point of trusting your process and trusting his process. So the goal you might set in that worksheet in regard to him might be one that says, son, I trust your process. It's not what I would do, but I trust your process. And, you know, you and I don't know. He might be serving. I always thought a barista was one who made tea. But as a barista, you don't know. The person that's he's serving his next cup of coffee or tea to might be the person who has the international corporation that works with brain damaged people to bring them into new environments. I don't know why he's there. You don't know why he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put that goal forward of, even though I can't see it, I'm going to trust your process. It's going to take you where you need to go.
Right, and I think that's good. Yeah. And I did look at that because under number 10, I did last night feel more accepting, and that I am and I put that I now see that I'm disappointed in me for not being joyful, and I'm disappointed in me for not fulfilling my potential. So I need to maybe just do a little journaling about myself and my potential,
mm-hmm.
and around that. So, okay, I like that loving goal about trusting the process.
Yeah, and really trusting his guidance to live his life. I know, I remember a person that was in one of my workshops, so this goes back years ago, and it was a friend who shared that his mother had wanted him to be a doctor, and he wanted to drive a truck. He just wanted to see the country and drive a truck, and his mother was on his back, you need to get this, and so he went to medical school. He went to college, he went to medical school, and he literally received his degree, did his walk across the stage, received his degree, walked down and gave it to his mother, and went and got a job driving a truck.
Mm.
It's like, who are we to know what another's real purpose is and
right.
another's real joy is? And sometimes what appears to be their lack of joy is the very thing that's going to teach them what their lives is really about. And, of course, when we do the projection game of everything I've never dealt with in me, I project onto you, then, all those disapprovals of myself, and it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all an inside job. So,
mm-hmm.
And our
mm-hmm.
kids are just awesome at giving it to us.
Oh,
just
they
awesome.
Are. They are. So the other thing on number 4 on the worksheet, where it says, I willingly grow through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. So what we kind of discovered last night through one person's experience with the worksheet was that those, and I think you were talking about it in one of your workshops, about what goes down then comes back up again.
Yeah.
So the physical, mental, or emotional symptoms of healing are they looking exactly like what was going down?
Yeah,
so,
actually, if you look in the archives, there's a show that we did specifically on healing crisis, or the healing process. But basically, when you start realizing that we are not physical beings but energetic beings, anything that we've taken in that has never been forgiven. And when I say anything that we've taken in, I mean anything that came into my field from the point of my conception forward, anything that came into both of my parents' field from the point of their conception forward, anything
mm-hmm.
that came into the energy field of my grandparents and their parents is present as an energy, as a frequency in my field. If it was traumatic, painful, horrible, hateful, spiteful, whatever, that's going to be locked away somewhere in my genetics or in my tissue structure. The
mm-hmm.
idea of the willingness to go through the process of healing is when we do our work and become more vital, then in our vitality we can access those things that we've been hiding from ourselves. And so all of a sudden those old energies start to come to the surface. And so that's where the key is, and I like to use the idea of cosmic grease. The willingness is the cosmic grease that allows me to embrace that. Can I maintain my human life, that awesome spark that you felt that day with your son as he was showing you your true being and you were joining with his? Can you maintain that awesome spark? And if not, then what is it in you that draws you away from that awesome spark that causes you to give up your human life? And because we live in a culture of denial and dissociation, when we deny and dissociate and drug ourselves, whatever we're using as a drug, we lock that away in tissue, and it becomes generational. You know, in the ancient teachings of the sins of the father will be passed to 3 and 4 generations, and the word sin simply is an archery term that means off the mark. Those energies that are off the mark are literally generational. So by embracing and moving into new levels of vitality, we're saying, okay, I'm willing to allow this to come up. And so on a physical level, healing looks like any kind of physical symptom you or anybody in your bloodline have ever had. On a mental level, it looks like any kind of negative thought and confusion of anybody that you or anyone in your bloodline has had. On an emotional level, it looks like any kind of negative feeling and depression. That's the healing process. That's why most people would rather drug themselves. It's, doc, just give me a drug. I don't want to feel. I don't want to deal with my life. And yet, when we do our work, the new levels of vitality that are reached allow us to reach into deeper levels of our own lives and our own genetics to clean those things out and to come out the other side. And there are 4 key things when you run into that process of healing that will tell you that you're in a healing process as opposed to a disease process. And the first one, the first question you ask yourself when you become symptomatic is, have I been doing in my life more and more of the right things? Physically, mentally, emotionally, relationship, forgiveness, nutrition, exercise. If I'm doing more and more of the right things, I'm getting stronger. As I get stronger, then I can reach into deeper levels. So the second question is, just before this level that I say I don't want to deal with this or this is some kind of disease process, just before this came up, had I hit a new level of clarity, of aliveness, of vitality? That'll be the second thing that'll say your symptoms are healing in process. Oh, yeah, I remember. I went to bed last night. I was so excited. Man, I got it. This is such an awesome life to live. I'm in such an awesome space. It's so exciting. And, you know, you go to bed and you get up in the morning and you wonder if anybody got the Mac number of the Mac truck that went through your room during the night.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you had the vitality to reach into that depth. So the second thing is, did I hit the new level of vitality? The third one is that in a disease process, there's a tendency for there to be a restriction of elimination. The eliminative organs don't work very well. And we're talking about all of the eliminative organs. We're talking about the skin, the urinary tract, the bowel, the mucous membranes, the sinuses, the lungs, will all tend to increase their eliminative output. That's the third thing that will tell you your symptoms are healing in process. And then the fourth one is, because when we hid these things away initially, we used some kind of a drug, whether the drug was rage, whether the drug was alcohol or sugar or caffeine or nicotine or whatever, then the whatever enabled us, and I use the word very consciously, enabled us to dissociate from what we didn't want to deal with, whatever it was that weakened us sufficiently that we could lock this into some kind of a crystalline structure somewhere in our form, as the crystalline structure starts to melt, there are literal molecules of that drug in that crystalline structure with all of the physical, mental, and emotional toxicity that's there. And this is especially an important piece for people who've been through addictive cycles, is that as those things start to break loose, there can be this craving for whatever that drug was. This is oftentimes where, you know, you hear somebody who's been an alcoholic and they've been on the wagon for 25 years and all of a sudden they fall off. Why? Because they hit this new level of vitality and their body started to process out literally some of this old alcohol, and there was this, all of a sudden, the vibration of that alcohol that maybe had been done away with 25 years ago was there. It's like, I can't think of anything else, got to go. And that's where a lot of people fall off the wagon. So that's what the healing process looks like, and they're the things that will tell you that your symptoms are healing instead of disease, that it's not time to go out and get another drug, but it's time to redouble the effort to do the work and
keep doing the work. That's exactly what I found, because I had been finding this past year that I had been getting bronchitis and coughing a lot, several times, and I'd never had it before. And then I kind kind of redoubled my healing efforts and started doing the worksheets and everything, and then I got it again this week. But I got it in a different way. I got it in a way that it came through me quicker and kind of was released. So I didn't have it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I had it just for a few days, and then it was gone.
Yep.
So that was interesting to see.
That healing process, and especially with congestive, if your body has a tendency for congestive disorders, something that can be really helpful whenever I have that sort of thing happen is I head for the lemons and the maple syrup and the cayenne pepper. Maple syrup, cayenne pepper, and lemons. Put those together, and that helps to break those congestive-type things up and accelerate it even more. So, they're never going to find a cure for the common cold because the common cold's not a disease. The common cold is a healing process. It's a structure that has enough vitality to process through what never belonged and to let go of it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they're never going to find a cure for the common cold. The common cold is a body vital enough to be throwing off what doesn't belong. Open the eliminative channels and accelerate and make it easier to go through that healing process as opposed to, well, we can go to the drugstore and get something to suppress the symptoms of our cold.
Suppress
the symptoms of a cold. You want to accelerate the release process that's happening. Cool. Well, is there any other support
thank you.
Today?
This was great. I'm going to do some more journaling. And, I actually have found in my life that as the deeper I've gone in my healing, it's not the harder it gets. It's more like the more intense it gets, I think.
Well, that's because you don't get to the deep, intense layers until you have high-level well-being, high-level vitality. Somebody who's had a level 5 vitality that has a level 7 toxicity is never going to see that level 7 toxicity as long as they keep doing the things that keep them at a level 5 vitality. As they do their work, they build to a 6, they build to a 7, they build to a 7.5. Now the depth of that level 7 issue is allowed to surface.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, and if there's a level 8 and a 9 and a 10 to that you're not going to experience that level 10 release and healing and intensity until you get to a level 10.5 vitality. And the whole idea to me, the whole idea is the pursuit of the next level of vitality to clear out the next layer of what never belonged and, you know, to clean up 1,000 generations of the insanity that's, we started out the show talking about what is it that's killing the young people today?
Right.
And insanity, those energies that never belong, that create such physiological stresses that their bodies just break down and they just don't last.
Yes, and I am feeling, I didn't really call it a level of vitality. I suppose I was calling it, I just feel a different vibrational quality.
Awesome. Cool.
Okay.
Well,
thank you so much.
We honor you and appreciate you, and we'll be in touch. Okay. Blessings.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jeannie, you had another caller?
Yes, we do. It's I believe they're from Oklahoma. Area code 918. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi. My name is Angela from Tulsa.
Hi, Angela at 918. I just got the notification. I didn't realize where our time was going, that we've only got a few seconds left. if we make a note of your number, if you call in tomorrow, we'll make sure you're the first call, but we're just about 60 seconds away from completion of the show.
Well, I understand what you were talking about very much. And struggle.
My apologies for hanging on hold, but if you call tomorrow, we'll make sure you're the first caller.
I won't be able to.
Okay. Blessings. We'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, Angela. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
And everybody, thanks for joining us. Bring a stranger with you to the show tomorrow, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness.
Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.